What's going on, everybody? This is Ken with the Space Weekly Podcast. Every week on this cast, we're going to cover weekly events happening in the space community, and we're going to learn a lot about what's going on in the current day space race. Who's going to the moon, who's going to Mars, who's building what, and who is creating what new technology. As the podcast goes on and you continue to listen, you'll gain a comprehensive view of the space industry as a whole, and we'll dive into what's going on in China and India, and what NASA and the ESA are up to. Also, I'll try to throw in some interesting articles I've read that can give us a glimpse into the future of tech and space. So please, guys, stick with this podcast. This is my first go around, and I promise you the quality will get better and more streamlined as we go along. So, on this first week in the podcast in the world of space, we're going to be looking at the attempted Chandrayaan 2 landing by India, and also the establishment or official re-establishment of the U.S. Space Command. So, without further ado, let's take a look at the first major item on the docket and the biggest story in the space industry this week. India's Space Agency, the Indian Space Research Organization, or ISRO's attempted moon landing. This mission was important to the ISRO for a variety of reasons. It would have made India just the fourth country behind the US, Russia, and China to successfully complete a soft landing on the moon. It would have been the first landing by any country on the south pole of the moon, and it would have allowed the ISRO to gather massive amounts of data on water, minerals, and seismic activity and thermal characteristics. They really wanted to learn about the lunar ice caps, and that was what they were really targeting for this mission. The moon landing was set to occur on September 6th, 2019. It would be the first landing ever on the south pole of the moon, and the lander was set to touch down on a highland between two craters, Manzanus C and Sempelius N. The entire mission was put together for an amazingly low cost. Estimates range from $125 to $150 million, but either way, we're talking about a historic science achievement for the price of a Hollywood movie. So, just a little background on this mission. The orbiter used in this project is called the Chandrayaan 2, like I said earlier. It's the second launch of a Chandrayaan-class orbiter, the first of which was a joint project between Russia and India. The entire Chandrayaan 2 was originally set to be a joint venture between India and Russia as well, and would use an Indian orbiter and rover, but a Russian lander. However, after the failure of Russia's Phobos Grunt mission, the Russian Space Agency proposed changes to their lander that would have increased its mass. As a result of these proposed changes to the lander, the Indian Space Research Organization dropped Russia from the project, resulting in it becoming a purely Indian venture. So the Chandrayaan 2 orbiter carried inside it the Vikram lander. The Vikram lander was named after Vikram Sarabhai, the father of the India space program, and it was equipped with solar panels on the outside and designed to operate for one lunar day, or approximately 14 Earth days, while communicating with the IDSN at Bialu near Bangalore. And the Vikram lander was also designed to release the Pragyan rover. As you can imagine, a major space venture of this magnitude has drawn massive national interest in India, even among people unfamiliar with the space program. The launch of the Chandrayaan 2 was well publicized, especially in India. It occurred on July 2nd at 5:13 a.m. Eastern Time off the coast of Bengal. The mission was going well, the launch was successful, and the Chandrayaan 2 was off. It flew well, made it to the moon, and completed several orbits while gathering data and taking photos. On September 6th, the Chandrayaan 2 orbiter released the Vikram lander, and everything looked to be going smoothly. However, on the lander's descent, there was a rough braking phase for 10 minutes, during which the lander appeared to survive, and the control room inside the Indian Space Command burst into applause. But moments later, when the Vikram lander was approximately 2 kilometers from the moon's surface, the ISRO lost communications with the lander, and the trajectory went haywire. From there, it appears the lander lost altitude too fast and smashed into the moon's surface. The result of the crash was met with silence inside the control room as the Indian scientists hung their heads. The Chandrayaan-2 orbiter, which continues to circle the moon, later spotted the Vikram rover, but as of yet, there is still no signal from it. The Chandrayaan orbiter will continue circling the moon for up to a year, mapping the moon's landscape and taking pictures. Hopefully, within the next couple of days, we'll know exactly what went wrong with the Vikram lander, and I'll keep you updated with next week's cast. Now, obviously, India is disappointed with the results of the lander, being just the fourth country to soft land on the moon, and the first to land on the moon's south pole would have been a huge accomplishment for the nation. The data gathered from around the ice caps could have paved the way for future missions looking to find ways to utilize the massive ice deposits, and it would have been a pinnacle for India's space program. However, the mission wasn't a total disaster. The Prime Minister of India, Narendra Modi, he's been very encouraging. In his speech addressing the scientists, he said, "Sisters and brothers of India, resilience and tenacity are central to India's ethos. In our glorious history of thousands of years, we have faced moments that may have slowed us, but they have never crushed our spirit. We have bounced back again and gone on to do spectacular things." Now, obviously, this is a nice sentiment to encourage resiliency, and the mission isn't a total loss. So again, the cost of the mission was incredibly cheap at approximately $150 million. And while the Vikram lander appears to have crashed, the Chandrayaan orbiter will still be able to carry out some mapping features of the moon. Not to mention, the Indian scientists will be able to learn from this experience and make adjustments for the next attempt. It will be interesting to see what else comes out of ISRO's camp over the next couple of days regarding the attempted landing, and I'll keep you updated on that moving forward. So next on the docket is the reestablishment of the U.S. Space Command, also called U.S. Spacecom, which became official on August 29th, just a few days ago. Now, this reestablishment has been in the works for some time and was actually signed in as a law several months ago, but the official ceremony took place this past Thursday. President Trump was at the official ceremony and gave a speech saying, "Our adversaries are weaponizing Earth's orbits with new technology targeting American satellites that are critical to both battlefield operations and our way of life at home. Our freedom to operate in space is also essential to detecting and destroying any missiles launched against the United States." The official establishment of Spacecom makes it the U.S. military's 11th combat command, each of which serve a specific function or geographic region. Now, a lot of people get Space Command confused with Space Force, but Space Command is not Space Force. Space Force will be its own separate branch of the military. Spacecom is distinct from and complementary to the proposed U.S. Space Force. So, as an armed force, the U.S. Space Force will organize, train, and equip space forces. As a combat command, U.S. Spacecom actively employs assigned forces from each of the military services to accomplish directed missions in the space domain. So essentially, the Space Force, when it is created and fully operational, will be an entity that recruits its own forces, has its own resources and equipment, while U.S. Spacecom will use resources already allocated to other branches of the military. Command of U.S. Spacecom is going to be given to General John W. Raymond, who is currently the commander of Air Force Space Command, and approximately 200 people will be placed directly under his command. General Raymond said Space Command will start out with minimal resources, especially for the coming year, and build up and ramp up as we go along. So, according to the U.S. military website, U.S. Spacecom's mission is to deter aggression and conflict, defend U.S. and allied freedom of action, deliver space combat power for the joint/combined force, and develop joint war fighters to advance U.S. and allied interests in, from, and through the space domain. So this is obviously a push by the military to be combat ready in space quickly, as the development of an entirely new branch of military, aka Space Force, will take some time. Also, this is easier to establish as it does not require nearly as much approval, or rather funding, by Congress. So while the Space Force and the Space Command will work together, they are not the same entity. Also, the U.S. Space Command, it's nothing new. In fact, it actually existed as a combat command from 1985 through 2002. However, post 9/11 terror attacks, the importance of it was de-emphasized, and as an increased importance was placed on Homeland Security, resulting in U.S. Northern Command being established for the defense of the North American continent, while U.S. Space Command was merged with the U.S. Strategic Command, where it became the Joint Functional Component Command, or Space and Global Strike. This is all a part of the push by the Trump administration to make sure both U.S. and allied civilian and military assets are protected in space. So that's it for this week's cast, guys. I know it was kind of short. I just wanted to cover the two major things happening in space this week. I hope you learned something from it. And like I said, please stick with this cast and give it at least a few test runs. My email address is in the show notes, so if you have any suggestions, just shoot me an email. I've been thinking about adding in a section every week, focusing on some futuristic aspect of space technology, like maybe what we could see happen in the next 50 years or even the next 1,000 years given the technology we're developing. So let me know what you guys want to hear and I'll make it happen. Also, please guys check me out next week. I'm going to release a cast every Sunday on what happened the past week, so just check in with me. Also, let me know if you'd like the cast to be a little longer, maybe like 20 minutes, or if you like this short cast format with as much info packed into it as possible. So that's it for me. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll catch you guys next week.